Welcome to the third hour of the Hillbilly Hits Traditional Country Music Request and Dedication Show podcast. Hillbilly Hits is hosted by Tracy Pitcox, and it's in its third decade of providing traditional country music, the true heart of country music. Here's Tracy. Enjoy the show.
Celebrating the 90th birthday of Loretta Lynn today, one of her all-time big hits, one called Your Squaw, is on the war path tonight. During that particular era in Loretta's career, it kind of set a tone for songs that she would continue to write and perform. Back in 1968, she released this next song that became an anthem for women literally all over the country and even beyond. It was about a woman who began pursuing her husband. That's what she wrote about, Doolittle, while Loretta was touring. Lynn's marriage was often troublesome. He threw her out of the house early in the relationship for evidently being a bad cook. But she found out that this woman was coming around whenever she'd go out on tour. And so instead of tackling necessarily the woman, she sat down, confronted them by writing a song. Here's one called Fist City.
You've been making your brags around town that you've been loving my man. But the man I love, when he picks up trash, he puts it in a garbage can. And that's what you look like to me. And what I see is a pity. You better close your face and stay out of my way if you don't want to go to Fist City. If you don't want to go to Fist City, you better detour around my town. 'Cause I'll grab you by the hair of the head and I'll lift you off of the ground. I'm not a saying my baby's a saint, 'cause he ain't, and that he won't pat around with a kitty. I'm here to tell you, gotta lay off of my man if you don't wanna go to Fist City. Come on and tell me what you told my friends, if you think you're brave enough. And I'll show you what a real woman is, since you think you're hot stuff. You'll bite off more than you can chew if you get too cute or witty. You better move your feet if you don't want to eat a meal that's called Fist City. If you don't want to go to Fist City, you better detour around my town, 'cause I'll grab you
Her second number one hit, there's Loretta Lynn doing one called Fist City as we honor Loretta on her 90th birthday today.
Yeah, can I hear Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton and Jack Daniels, if you please?
I'll do them for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tennessee whiskey. Hey, Tracy, I forgot to get you to play a song earlier.
Okay.
Nautilus Footfoot.
I'll do it for you.
And a phone call from God.
Okay, I'll see if I can get that one for you, okay?
All right, Tracy, I appreciate it.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Here's a little story my daddy used to tell me, and I think it's one of the reasons why I stutter today. I was about 4 or 5 years old when he told me this, and it's about the three little rabbits, and there were three of them. And their name were Foot and Foot-Foot and Foot-Foot-Foot. And they lived beside a garden, and they had eat up just about everything in the garden, and all was left was were older carrots, and they was getting a little pithy. And old Foot-Foot-Foot, he decided to go and look for a new garden. So old Foot-Foot-Foot, he said goodbye to Foot-Foot and Foot. And Foot-Foot just said goodbye to Foot-Foot-Foot. So old Foot-Foot-Foot, he hopped off, and he hopped, and he hopped, and he hopped, and he hopped, and hopped, and hopped, and hopped, and he hopped, and he hopped, and he hopped. And in the meantime, old Foot had eaten one of them pithy carrots and got sick. And he was scared, you know, he got real bilious. And old Foot, he told Foot-Foot, he said, Foot-Foot, he said, will you go and find Foot-Foot-Foot? He said, I'm sick. And Foot-Foot, he said to Foot, he said, Foot, he said, what's wrong with you? And Foot, he said, Foot-Foot, he said, I think I got a hold of a bad carrot. And he said, I'm sick, and I don't feel good, and I'm afraid I'm going to die. So old Foot-Foot, he said goodbye to Foot, and old Foot-Foot, he said goodbye, Foot, and Foot said goodbye, Foot-Foot. And Foot-Foot, he hopped and hopped and hopped and he 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 finally found old Foot-Foot-Foot. Old Foot-Foot, he said to Foot-Foot-Foot, he said, hi, Foot-Foot-Foot. And Foot-Foot-Foot said to Foot-Foot, he said, hi, Foot-Foot. He said, what's the matter with you? He said, nothing's the matter with me, Foot-Foot-Foot. And Foot-Foot, he said to Foot-Foot-Foot, he said, foot sick. And Foot-Foot-Foot said to Foot-Foot, said Foot-Foot, he said, what's wrong with Foot? He said he got a hold of a bad carrot, and he doesn't feel good. He's bilious, and he thinks he's going to die. Foot-Foot-Foot, he said to Foot-Foot, he said, oh, Foot-Foot, he said, a foot will be all right. He said, you go back, and if he gets any worse, he said, you take him to see one of them, a foot doctor. So old Foot-Foot, he said goodbye to Foot-Foot-Foot, and Foot-Foot, he hopped and 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 he got back there where Foot was supposed to be, and Foot was there, but Foot had died. All 4 feet was sticking up in there. And it scared old Foot-Foot so bad, too, because he had a bite of the same carrot. And he hopped 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 and he found old Foot-Foot a foot. And how many feet did I say that time? He found old Foot-Foot-Foot, and Foot-Foot, he said to Foot-Foot-Foot, he said Foot-Foot-Foot, and Foot-Foot-Foot said, what is it, Foot-Foot? And Foot-Foot said, Foot has died. And he said, I feel like I'm going to die too, because I had a bite of the same carrot. And Foot-Foot-Foot, he said to Foot-Foot, he said, Foot-Foot, he said, you can't die. He said, we got 1 foot in the grave already. Folks, I sold my theater. I built this theater here. And I still do that.
Pretty woman, paging honey, help just one night with her and Megan's all it took. My heart was taken. Ooh, Megan, Georgia love. In Megan, the night had fallen, and the neon lights were calling as a gentle Georgia rain fell from above. In a bar out of the rain, a jukebox was softly saying, ooh, making Georgia love. I saw her in the mirror, so I moved a little nearer. Just a candle burned between the two of us. She blew the candle out and whispered, do you know about who making Georgia love? Whispering, ooh, making Georgia love. I was listening. Our thoughts were just the same as we left in the Georgia rain. Ooh, making Georgia love.
Can you play El Rey del Todo Mundo by George Strait?
I can do it for you tonight.
For El Jefe and La Jefa.
All right, we'll do it for you.
Okay, appreciate you.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you all.
Que estoy afuera, pero el día que yo me muera, sé que tendrás que llorar.
Llorar, 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 llorar.
Dirás que no me quisiste, pero vas a estar muy triste, y así te vas a quedar. Siempre lo que quiero, y mi palabra es la ley. No tengo trono ni reina, ni nadie que me comprenda, pero sigo siendo. yo que mi destino era rodar y rodar.
Rodar y rodar, rodar y rodar.
Luego me dijo un arriero que no hay que llegar primero, pero hay que saber llegar.
A little bit of George Strait showing his Spanish influence there with one called El Rey, which I've been told means the king. By request, here's Grand Ole Opry star Jack Green for you, and Ever Since My Baby Went Away.
Haven't seen a moonbeam, haven't heard a robin sing, ever since my baby went away. Haven't slept one single night, wondering if she's all right. Ever since my baby went away, I'll walk alone till she returns. I miss her.
Ever since my baby went away, there's Grand Ole Opry star Jack Green for you. Had a request for this song earlier in the program. Here's David Allan Coe.
Jack Daniels, if you please, knock me to my knees. You're the only friend that has ever been. Cigarettes and whiskey call my shaking hand. I just lost a lover to a one-night stand. Something temporary, too late I had learned.
knock me to my knees. You're the only friend there has ever been that didn't do me wrong. Jack Daniels, if you please, knock me to my knees. You can kill this pain that's driving me insane. Promises were broken, dreams were left to die. Empty words were spoken, tears were in our eyes.
Something temporary,
those tears will fade away. Do the best you can. These games that people play.
Jack Daniels, if you please,
knock me to my knees. You're the only friend there has ever been that didn't do me wrong. Pain is driving me insane since my baby's gone. You can kill this pain, it's driving me insane since my...
Hey Tracy, appreciate you. You got any Outlaw Women from Hank Jr.?
I've got it.
Appreciate you. Can you play that for us?
I'll do it for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir.
Works in the bank, and she works in the store, and she don't go that old stuff anymore. She likes to get high and listen to the band. She likes to make love to her kind of man. Outlaw women, the first of their kind. Outlaw women, they got here right on time. Outlaw women, they don't need any guns. Outlaw women, they're just out for fun. In many ways, she's a lot like me. She don't give a damn about society. Might be a little rich girl, she might be poor. She might be a married woman that needs a little more. Outlaw woman, first of a kind. These outlaw women, riding high in 79. These outlaw women don't need any guns. These outlaw women just out for fun. Call her lady, some call her other names, but you won't ever call her that around me and my gang.
A little bit of of Hank Williams Jr. for you. This is one called Outlaw Women. Well, tonight we're honoring and paying tribute to the great Loretta Lynn on her 90th birthday throughout the entire night tonight. We're going to go back in just a few minutes and pick up one of the interviews that we've done with Loretta. Loretta was always kind enough to give us time throughout the years. She joined us on the Hits Radio Show many times throughout the last 33 years, and it was kind of hard for me to pick out what I wanted the interview I wanted to rebroadcast, but I picked one that that we had done. This was at the time of her second book being released, and so she talks about that and talks about her family, talks about her career, talks about people that are important to her. And so I thought we'd go back and revisit that interview in just a few minutes. But I wanted to play this song first. And I've had already four or five people call to make sure we were going to play this. And, of course, you couldn't do a Loretta Lynn tribute throughout the night without playing this particular song. It was a song written by Loretta. It was originally released as a single back in 1970 and became a number one hit on the Billboard country chart. It was later released on an album that was titled the same, produced by the great Owen Bradley, and tells the story of her coal mining father in rural Kentucky during the Great Depression. She was actually born in 1932, and she experienced the Great Depression as a child. This particular song was first composed by her in 1969. And while writing the lyrics, she composed the melody at the same time, and originally it was more of a bluegrass-type style, which matched the style of the music that she was raised singing in the hills of Kentucky. Although she said she had trouble rhyming some of the song's words, she said, "I had to match up words like holler and daughter and water. But after it was done, the rhymes weren't so important because it told my story."
my favorite people in the entire world. Loretta Lynn's with us. Loretta, how are you?
Well, I'm getting over New York.
You said you'd had a rough time there.
Hey, when you do 5 and 6 things a day up there, you have to get up at 4 o'clock to start, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get in bed 10, 11 o'clock.
Wow.
And boy, I'll tell you, you've got to grab a little nap everywhere you can because there ain't no time.
Well, you're doing a lot of promotion right now, and a new book, Still Woman Enough. Why did you decide to write another book, Loretta?
Well, I might even write another one because after I've read this, it ain't got half any what I meant to put. That gun, it made me mad. The best thing that I wanted to put in there wasn't in there. So I thought, well, daggone it. I'll write another and call it Ain't Over Till the Fat Lady Sings.
Well, see, you've got more material then, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I got, you know, while Dude was sick, I kept writing, and I had 3 of these great big yellow Pats tablets full. And I just read this off, and they typed it up. That was all they did on this book, and I never even thought about leaving anything out because I didn't read it.
Yeah.
And then when I just kind of thumbed through it, it was not exactly the way I wanted it because I had some more stuff that I needed to put in there.
Now, your daughters, Peggy and Patsy, they weren't too supportive of this project at first, were they?
Well, no, they wasn't. They kind of worried about me telling something that would hurt their daddy, and I said, hey, your daddy's hurt himself. Don't blame it on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the movie showed that, didn't it?
It did. It really did.
It showed he drank, and bless his heart, he was okay when he died because he's in heaven now.
That's right. And you started with your very first memory, which I could not believe, 11 months old.
11. I couldn't either. When Mommy told me how old I was, I said, Mommy, can you count that up again? Please help me. And then I went into full detail, Mommy. Didn't Grandma have a big old weeping willow? And they said, Duck, when they went under the weeping willow to go across the creek, and they was walking on rocks to get across the creek.
Wow.
And she says, yes, but Lord, you can't remember this. And I said, Mommy, Daddy had a white shirt on, and he was crying. And he had me in his arms, and because Daddy was crying, I was crying. And I didn't know what this big box was that was coming out the door.
Yeah.
I don't remember Grandma. And I remembered them taking her out, you know.
Wow.
But I didn't. She kind of ducked. She says, you're absolutely right. Everything you said is right. I said, you tell me if somebody told you. And I said, Mommy, I don't know of anybody that's living back then except you.
Yeah.
You know?
That's incredible. 11 months old. That
11
is,
months
that's
old.
That's really neat.
But that must have really, Daddy having on a white shirt must have really been something for me to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that big box, everybody crying, it must have hit me in a funny way. And it laid on my brain, you know.
Mm.
It was just absolutely dented into my brain, so
that's how you remembered
it. Mommy couldn't believe it.
Well, you know, in your new book, you talk a lot about Coal Miner's Daughter, and you mentioned that it made $64 million, but you didn't get much of that money.
No. And if I could tell you all about this, then I would, but I can't, and I get sued. not this book, the one that was wrote that they did, that the publisher turned down.
Yeah.
But we can't talk about it.
Wow. That's just incredible that it made that much money, though. It's just unbelievable. And you said
there were too many hands in the pot.
Yeah. And you said the movie was real accurate, but there was a couple of things that were wrong, including Patsy Cline's drinking.
Patsy Cline might have a drink or two, but she didn't. When I went to see her, he didn't bring a beer into the hospital.
Yeah.
That would have been the first thing I'd have known because since Dude drank, I hated that stuff, and if she'd have done that, you know, I know she, one day she took, I was on tour with him, I was opening up the show, and Patsy took a little drink of some kind of whiskey, of somebody else's, and she said, Dude said, Lord, take a little drink, it might help you, your nerves.
Uh-huh.
Well, God, I couldn't stand that stuff, but I tipped it up and took just a little tiny taste. Well, you know, that affected me, though. I walked on the stage and couldn't hear the music, it was going, woo, you know, everything sounded the same. I couldn't hear the beat. I couldn't hear the guitar still. It was all going one way.
Wow.
And Dude come to meet me when I got off the steps. He said, that's the damn last time you ever do get another drink. I said, I didn't want that one. You was the one told me to take it.
Exactly.
I went on and sung 3 songs and never hit the melody.
Wow. Wow. You had to leave that stuff alone from then on,
oh,
right?
I don't drink.
Well, in the book, you also mentioned that Hollywood was really not wanting you to use Ernest Tubb in your movie.
They didn't, they didn't even want Sissy to do the movie.
Wow.
And her manager didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she started praying after she kept seeing me on all the, every time I get on the Tonight Show and Merv Griffin and everybody out there in California, I'd say, well, Sissy Spacek's going to be the coal miner's daughter. Because I had her picked out just out of a picture because I'd never seen one of her movies.
Yeah.
I had never seen anything out of her. And she said she went to go to get my 8-track tapes that I prayed all night. And I went to get your 8-track tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had my channel on a country station. I was a rock and roller.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, when I went to get them to turn the key that next morning to get out of my garage, the first thing happened on the rock station is playing Coal Miner's Daughter.
Wow.
And she says, yes, Lord, yes, you've answered my question. And she fired her manager and told him that she was going to play me.
My goodness.
Mm. Yeah.
And they didn't want Ernest because they thought he was too country?
Too country. They didn't want any of the country people. I mean, they thought, you know, we were... They kind of see us as a little bit too earthy, and I'm glad to be earthy.
That's right, exactly. How did the movie change your life, Loretta?
Well, the only way that it's changed me, it's just broadened my audience.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it changed me. It'd take more than a movie to change me, you know that.
Exactly.
The movie don't affect me none, I'll tell you.
Well, you also talked a lot about Tammy Wynette in your new book.
Yes, I talked to her the night before she died. And she says, you know, I'm gaining a lot of weight. She was great. She was up, you know, she was really up and having a good time.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm getting fat. As soon as I get a little more fat on me, I'm going to go get a facelift. And I said, well, you wait on me. And we was just having a ball.
Yeah.
And the next morning, Crystal Gale says, Loretta, turn on your TV. There's cops over at Tammy's house. And I said, oh, God, I already knew.
Wow.
I already knew. But, she wasn't sick, and I really don't know what happened.
And you even mentioned that you didn't think she really found her true love.
She loved George Jones, I think.
Really?
Always.
Wow.
I think she always did.
Wow.
I would believe she always have. I think it's when they were together, when they was first married,
mm-hmm.
It was just, you know, I watched them, and it was really neat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it she really did, but she couldn't take the drinking.
Yeah. So sad.
I don't know. I really don't. If she hadn't found her true love, she has by now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And also, I really got a kick out of you talking about Dew and a lot of his business ventures, like the Loretta Lynn Longhorn Rodeo.
Oh, my God. I'd go to work and I'd make a little, I'd be so happy because I was out there making a little money. And come on, he'd have more. He'd have three times spent what I made.
Well.
Yeah. That Henry thing, yeah, he got that daggone Longhorn rodeo for 10 years.
Uh-huh.
That was more of a heartache than anything I ever done.
And when he was doing that, spending all the money, you didn't even have a band at that time, right?
No. And when I just let him know. I said, dude, when you ride out in that arena, you have the best horse you can buy, don't you? You bet I do, and that's the way it's going to be. Stay. I said, and when I leave this weekend, I'm going to have a band. No, you're not. I said, watch and see. Or hide and watch. And I did. Wasn't a very good band, but Doyle and Teddy, they quit the road, and I took theirs for Nashville, Tennesseans for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got my own band, the Coal
mm-hmm.
Miners.
And you even referred to the Wilburn Brothers in this book, too. I know that y'all had kind of a strange relationship at
but
the
I've
end.
I've always loved them.
I know you have. And they were good to your career, and you were good to theirs.
Doyle was, he was a good manager guy,
mm-hmm.
besides being a singer at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy was more of a you know, looked over the music and stuff. But Doyle was the one that put the business together.
There's also a lot of forgiveness in your book because you talk a lot about Dude, his drinking and his
yeah.
womanizing. But you always forgave him.
You know, and after he passed away, none of that means nothing to me. I mean, I can't remember anything that bothered me that much.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it?
It was hard on you, but it also was, I guess, hard on him.
Well, he seemed to enjoy it then.
I meant not having you around, I guess.
We're all playing.
That's right, certainly. And you also referred to the early 1990s as some of your toughest times, Loretta, especially when Dude got sick.
Oh, God, that's the worst time of my life.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to see that again.
I just wanted to kind of mention one other thing. After Dew passed away, and you were trying to kind of decide on what you wanted to do for the rest of your career, I know that returning to the Opry was a big help for you in December of 96. It kind of got you back on track,
well,
didn't
it? Well, kind of. When I asked Rosie, I said, Rosie, how long have I been up here in town? She said, a year, and I thought I'd been there like 2 months. And I said, God, we got to do something. Yeah. I knew I was losing it, you know.
Yeah.
And I was running from it. It was what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was no way to do it.
And you're now out on the road. I know you're working about as much as, probably more than probably you really want to.
Yeah, this year is going to really be rough. Next year I'm going to kind of pick what I want to do and not be gone from my ranch as much, because I've got my show building built down here.
Yeah.
And I want to do a lot of stuff here, you know.
And your museum, I was at the opening of the museum. It's fabulous.
It is. It really is. And we put a lot more stuff in it now than was in it when you come down.
Wow. And you just cut Sweet Thing with Alan Jackson.
We're not supposed to tell that.
Oh, I'm not supposed to tell him that?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
But that's all right if you do. It'll be out on a Still Woman Enough.
Wow, that's going to be great.
Well, thank you, honey.
I know you and Ernest did a good job on that. And I know you have so much more to do in your career, but are you satisfied?
Waiting on me.
Are you satisfied, Loretta, with your position in country music today?
Well, I am. I ain't worrying about what the rest of them do. I'm just going to do what I do and let the rest do what they want to. I mean, that's the way I've always done, so I hadn't worried about it. I think if people worry about it, they spend too much time worrying and don't work on their career.
Yeah.
So it don't bother me what they do. I do what I do.
That's the way to be, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, we want you to come back to Texas. We're going to come see you, okay?
Okay, Tracy. Now, when I get up there, you bring that bus full back.
I'm going to do it, and we love you so much.
I love you too, honey.
Talk to you later, okay?
Okay, I'll tell Rosa we talked.
All right.
Okay, baby.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're not trying, just crying over what we've become.
Let's not backtrack or look back on the damage that we've done.
We can start here, not part here, for there's hope for me and you.
If we put together, our hearts will tell us what to do.
If we put our heads together, our hearts will tell us what to do.
My heart tells me to forget her.
And I forget him too.
I'll take a step in your direction,
and toward you I'll take two.
If we put our heads together, our hearts will tell us what to do.
Oh, buddy. It's not rain, it's just pain running down my face.
I feel certain that the hurting won't leave any trace.
We'll erase it, just replace it with a love we once knew. Take a step in your direction,
and toward you I'll take two.
If we put our heads together, our hearts will tell us what to do.
Here's one from Loretta Lynn and Ernest Tubb doing one called If We Put Our Heads Together, Our Heart Will Tell Us What to Do. Gay Stevens asked me to be sure and play that tonight, and I am happy to. I love that old duet from A.T. and Loretta. And enjoyed going back and hearing some stories from the coal miner's daughter, celebrating her 90th birthday today. And we're very honored to get an opportunity to do that. We're going to play this for Sienna tonight. Here's one from Country Music Hall of Famer, Little Jimmy Dickens.
When I was a little boy around the table at home, I remember very well when company would come. I would have to be right still until the whole crowd ate. My mom always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. And that is why it looks bad to have these beauty ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and starve to death before my time would come. All that chicken they would eat and just leave Jim the bun. The feet and neck are all that's left up on the china plate. It makes you pretty darn weak to take an old cold tater and wait. Taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. And that is why it looks bad to have these beauty ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater away. And then the preachers, they would come to stay a while with us. I would have to slip around and raise a little fuss. In fear that I might spill the beans or break the china plate, my mom always said to me, Jim, take a tater away. Taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why it looks bad to have these beauty ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
Yeah, old cold tater and wait. Hey, stick around for more requests and dedications coming up on the next hour of the Hits Radio Show. My friends Kenneth and Kelly are tuned in Hendersonville, Tennessee. I'm going to go way back and pick up an old Billy Walker song, especially for them tonight.
I'm a fool to care when you treat me this way. I love you so, but darling, I know I'm a fool to care. I'm a fool to cry since you told me goodbye. Why should I pretend I lose in the end? I'm a fool to care. I know I should laugh and call it a day, but I know I will cry to care when you don't care for me. I love you so, but darling, I know I'm a fool to care.
to care. When you don't care for me, I love you so. And darling, I know I'm a fool to care.
Thank you for listening to the Hillbilly Hits Traditional Country Music Request and Dedication Show, hosted by Tracy Pitcox. To listen live, tune in to KNEL 95.3 FM and knelradio.com on Thursday night starting at 6 p.m. Central Time. We look forward to you listening again.